I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hello, hello, Midlife Mavericks. Thanks for joining me again here. I am your host, Allison Jacobson. So glad you're here. If you are new to the show, I do solo episodes. I have guests on who are doing amazing kick-ass things in midlife and experts who can help us become our personal best in midlife. If you'd like to learn more about me, you can go to allison-jacobson.com and you can check out my book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, A Guide to Peace, Joy, Confidence, and Abundance. It's on Amazon. And please, if you like this podcast, leave a review, subscribe, because that helps other women in midlife find us. So I was actually at the gym this morning. As many of you know, I'm working out a lot. And I know for women in midlife, it's intimidating going to the gym. You think everybody's looking at you and you don't feel like you know what you're doing. And especially getting started, it's really tough. And I did a reel this morning saying, guess what? No one's looking at you. The millennials are busy taking selfies and everybody's doing their own thing. So don't worry about it. And not only that, but when I see women in the gym who are there for the first time, who are my age, I high five them. I go up and I congratulate them and I welcome them because now I kind of feel like I'm part of the gym and I want others to feel that way as well. And that's why I was so happy to have my guest on today, Kim Ray here. She is a former journalist turned health coach. She's a survivor of MS, and you know that's near and dear to my heart, turned European champion in master weightlifting. Oh my God. And she's on a mission to help middle-aged women embrace muscle and strength as the one-stop shop solution for a host of health problems, often from our 30s onwards. Her approach is to turn scientific knowledge about human health into actionable toolkits for everyday life. Kim, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to, you know, get to chat with you.
Well, and as I always say, I love doing podcasts because I get to meet women from all over the world. And it's amazing how many people are doing just incredible things and helping other women. So I really want to talk about the weightlifting aspect, but I first, because as many of my listeners know, my husband has primary progressive MS, and I know, you know, the toll that takes on your body. So how did you go from having MS to being a master champion weightlifter? That blows me away.
Well, I think, and I want to say that first, that I was lucky. Because with MS, you just don't know what card you've been dealt. And I didn't know at the time I was diagnosed, which is 10 years ago. I had one episode where my left hand and then arm upward went numb. And then we waited, you know, even for a year, I think. They tell you second relapse is the one where you get the official diagnosis. I'm sure you know this. So one thing could be like a freak accident. And the second time, then you're a patient. So an entire year I spent thinking, no, it's not coming back. It's not coming back. It's not coming back. And then it came back. But the way it came back was so discreet. And if I hadn't been so tuned into this, and if I hadn't been doing a weird yoga pose on my bedroom floor, where I then felt this weird tingling in my spine, I would probably not even have noticed. So I think that my relapses weren't particularly debilitating, except for my left hand is still numb today. But that doesn't keep me from doing things. And after the first relapse, the second episode, when my doctor told me I had to get treatment and inject myself three times a week for life, I fought him like crazy because I thought, well, this second thing was so much milder than the first. What if this is going away? And I never know, because if I inject myself, then I can't tell. Is it because of the treatment or is it because I'm better? But he convinced me. I started injecting myself. But what I didn't want to do was give my power away, so to speak. Mm. So I wanted to look after myself as well. I wanted to live as if I wasn't a patient. I wanted to live normally. And I had been going to the gym before and liked that, but going through the motions a little bit, doing stuff that was supposed to be good for you. And this time I went back to the gym with this intention. I was very clear, very deliberate. I wanted to build myself back up. And I started lifting heavy. I started going for bigger weights. And I got stronger and so much better. And things like I had reflexes, you know, the one in the knee where they hit you and then the leg shoots out. They had told me this was never going to come back. And it all came back. So I got really better. And I'm not claiming, this is really important. That's why I started with saying I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. Not claiming that you can heal a mess with training. You can't. But I think that in my case, what it helped me with was first, sort of get rid of all the leftovers from having these relapses where, you know, you don't move a lot. You feel weak. You feel weird. Yeah. You have all kinds of sensations that you shouldn't have. So that helped me get stronger and like willfully ignore that I was a patient, even though I was injecting myself. And the second one, I think, is mental health, because mm-hmm. lifting gives you so much confidence and this feeling of having my power back, even though I was with the treatment, but I had a good feeling about myself, about my body, about my ability to deal with things. And I think it's something that everyone can consider. When you go to the gym and you lift weights, you overcome resistance, like literally. And I think that for your brain, there's no big difference between the kinds of resistance that you can or want to overcome. So once you have this experience of being able to deal with resistance and overcome it, I think it carries over into your life and into other parts of your life, and you feel so much more powerful.
Well, I loved what you said about taking back power and taking control. And my dear friend passed away from cancer 3 years ago, but up until the moment she died, she chose how she was living and how she was dying, and she took control. And I think that having that power in every aspect of your life makes so much of a difference.
Yes, and that's the scary thing is about being ill or being in a hospital. You really lose your self-determination. You lose your human dignity sometimes even because you're in the system and you're just part of the whole machinery and nobody really cares about you. Not because they're bad people or something. It's just how the system is built and how they have to work. And it's, you know, keeping your power when you're diagnosed with something that serious, that's the main fight. And I think that, like, mentally, the training helped me to feel that I was winning that fight, that I was actually my own boss and that I was taking my own decisions and really being the boss inside my own body.
Right.
And because I got better so obviously and had no symptoms and was strong and fit, it's now 6 years ago that my neurologist said, you know what, if you want to stop the treatment, without it, I'm going to support you. And I said, hell yes, I want that. Let's stop that.
Congratulations.
And again, I think I was lucky because he's a very, very up-to-date doctor. He goes to conventions and he's very tuned in. And he told me, we're actually not sure anymore that this treatment is effective. That was encouraging because I thought if I was doing well, it was probably not because of the treatment. So I was like, I had the courage to say, let's stop. And that was 6 years ago. I've been without a relapse and without treatment.
That is just incredible and just so happy for you. So is that, I know you started your coaching. Is that what kind of kicked it off?
Absolutely. It coincides. When I could stop the treatment, I felt I was given like a second chance, and I wanted to, I'd had this urge, this desire to explain and help women, like training and being physically active and being strong is it will help you so many things. And then I so grateful for what I got that I took the plunge and I said, okay, by journalism, that was my job until then. I'm going to just go into health coaching and try and spread this muscle message, because muscle is so powerful in so many things. And since then, I did this because I felt it in my gut and it had sort of helped me in my personal experience. But now we have so much scientific evidence that actually muscle is like a one-stop shop for so many things that I feel even more empowered to, you know, with my mission to tell everybody, just go build muscle and you will have so many benefits that many other things, you know, you don't even think about anymore.
So let's talk about that, because you're right. I don't think so. I ran the New York City Marathon 2 years ago, and one and done. That's all I wanted to do. But now I am doing weightlifting, not big like that, but, you know, just training, because I do want to stay strong. I want to fight off osteoporosis. But tell us about some of the other benefits that we don't know about from having strong muscles.
Yes, one big one is, and that's, I think it's relatively recent that we know this, or that we're sure of this, is metabolic health. And most women, when they hear metabolic health and muscle and strength, they think, oh yeah, you have more muscle, you burn more calories at rest, and it's easier to control your weight. And that is the case. But the much bigger thing is your glucose metabolism, your blood sugar management. If you carry a lot of muscle, your body has like extra storage space for any sugar that, you know, that you've been eating. And so many people now eat too much sugar and they're physically inactive. So the only place the sugar can go is into the fat cells until the system with the overload of sugar breaks down. And then you, you know, become pre-diabetic or insulin resistant, or even in a diabetes 2 patient. If you carry a really good quantity of muscle, your body will not have a problem, because wow, it will always send the sugar in the form of glycogen into the muscles to be stored there for energy. So that's, I think, is a super benefit. You don't have to worry about sugar, about carbs, because, you know, your body will be able to absorb it and the system will keep functioning. Another big benefit, and that's been proven again and again, but it's a funny thing because it's mental health. People report that when they go strength training, symptoms of anxiety, of depression, decrease, they get better, they become more confident. The cool thing is, I find that cool, maybe it's not right, but we don't know yet what's the mechanism behind this. We don't know what causes these mental health systems, symptoms to decrease through strength training. You know, scientists are always looking for the mechanism, for the molecule or for the neuromodulator that you have to sort of kick off or trigger. And we don't know, not yet, which is good, because as soon as we know, maybe someone will develop a pill to make that happen for you. And because the human body is such a complex system, all these interventions, yes, they have like short-term effects and work a little bit, but there's always a trade-off and a price to pay when you intervene in such a complex system.
Well, I found that when I was training for the marathon, like I said, I went from running 1 mile to 26. I had never run in my life. And when I got into running, you become addicted to working out. Like my body craved running and I loved running. And you get into that zone. I think that's true with yoga as well. You know, and I think it's with any exercise, but with the weightlifting, I think it's particularly interesting, because I've noticed now too, especially when I have my playlist and I'm in the gym, like it's just, you feel more powerful, confident. It is very interesting.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to know and realize this, and that's not quite everybody's sort of knowledge yet. We were optimized. Our bodies are optimized to be moving, to be lifting, pushing, pulling, carrying. We've always been doing this. So what does that mean when I say optimized? It means that it's not that we're living our lives and, you know, sitting and working and eating. And then if we want to be a little bit healthier, we start moving. It's if we don't move, we get worse. We have to move all the time to just stay at a healthy level. this is what our bodies need. And when we sit all day, all week, and then for months, for years, that carries a hefty price tag, and we need to be moving as much as we can. And weightlifting it's a reaction to how our world is built right now, because 5,000 years ago, we would have been lifting and pushing and pulling and carrying and running naturally all the time. We don't get that anymore. We don't have this opportunity, actually. And while we might feel that this is great, that our life has become so comfortable, we actually have to turn that perspective and fight for the right to move. You will not be given movement or activity in you could just sit on your sofa, you could do your job online, and you could have food delivered to your doorstep. If you don't fight, if you don't insist, you're not going to move, and you're going to get sick, and you have to really put that on your priority list and be aware that, you know, we must insist that we get opportunities to move and to replace those ancient activities that we don't have anymore with pushing and pulling weights in the gym.
Are you looking for an extra dose of motivation every day? Head over to Amazon and grab my book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, a guide to peace, joy, confidence, and abundance. You'll find small inspirational quotes that you can start out your day feeling bold and confident. I just actually did a webinar about that, about how our brain as well is still, you know, from the caveman days. And so our environment changes, but our body has not changed. I want to break down some myths, though, because I am sure a lot of people are listening and saying, there's no way, because they think of weightlifting as these big, bulky men or these like women bodybuilders. So is that the case? Which I'm sure it's not, because I look at you and you're great. How can somebody start? Can anybody start at any time?
Yes, absolutely. It's really important to know that it's never too late. They have done studies with people in their 90s, and they got stronger and they built muscle.
Wow.
This image of pumping iron and bulky men scantily clad and sweating away in the gym, I think it's from the 70s, like pumping iron with Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And it's still very pervasive in the common culture. But it's not that, because we are not actually training muscles in the sense of focusing on one single muscle like the bicep and then doing 25,000 repetitions to make it grow and take a certain shape that we want it to be. We're training movements. We want to build muscle. What we're doing this by training movements. That's what I mentioned, like pushing and pulling. It's called functional training too. And it's something that will make you very functional, that will help you with your daily activities. But it will not make you big, especially not women. We just don't have the right hormonal setup to build big muscle, except maybe for some outliers. But, you know, it's very likely that's not you. So there might be one, and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of women who will like look at the barbell and then start growing.
Right, Otherwise.
Look at men. They are toiling away in the gym. They want to be hench and buff, and they sometimes work for years and years and they don't achieve that look. So I don't know how we are going to do it, especially not with, you know, pink half a pound dumbbells or anything.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And there's another thing, and that's something that is like, it's a bit deeper, but I think it's important. We want to think about, is it really so much about how we look?
You know,
especially in midlife. What's it about? It's about how we feel.
That's, I agree,
so much more important.
Oh, and yes.
I mean, I'm, for example, I think I'm a bit hench, just a little bit. And maybe most women don't want to look like me, but I'm very sure that they would love to feel like me, because I'm full of energy and strong, and I can carry stuff, and I have a pain-free back. And I think if we can shift the focus just a little bit to how do we want to feel, then we won't experience so much resistance to these ideas that are just culturally ingrained and have not even much to do with reality.
Well, and to be honest, one of the reasons I started weightlifting is because, as I said, my husband is in a power chair. I need to help him get in and out of bed, and he's a big guy. And so if I get to be in my 60s and I don't have that strength, what's going to happen? So that's one of my, you know, big whys of why I always tell my coaching clients, you have to have a powerful why. That's my powerful why. Does it also help? I'm sure it helps preventing osteoporosis, you know, those brittle bones.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to load the bone. And interestingly enough, even jogging will not cut it. You need to really deliberately overload the progressively. Strength training is the best insurance against osteoporosis. Of course, there are genetic factors.
Right.
But even more so, if you have a predisposition, you want to do everything in your power to work against that and offset
right.
that by training for strength.
And so if somebody wants to start, I can imagine everybody saying, there is no way in heck I'm walking into a gym. First of all, I wouldn't know what to do with the weights. How does someone start? What weight should they start at? You know, how do they know what to do if they've never done it before? And can they do it at home?
Absolutely. I think 90% of my clients train at home. They start at home, and you can get stronger with just the weight of your own body for years. You don't need to set foot in a gym. And I understand that, you know, some people might be intimidated in the gym, just as you said. You feel like everybody's looking at you, or you feel out of place. The thing is, you get this introduction with a trainer, they show you all the machines, and you just, you know, you follow along sort of, and you say yes, yes. And then the next time when you're in there alone, right. You don't remember a thing.
Exactly.
You don't know what was this? And then maybe someone is using that machine and think, okay, I can't do this now. It is complicated. You can start at home. I think this is also very helpful to reduce resistance. When we change habits and we change the way we do things, there will be some resistance. That old brain of ours that we were talking about, it doesn't like change.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, no matter how uncomfortable we are where mm-hmm. we are, at least feel sort of kind of safe and we're alive. And any change for our primal brain is a threat to that safety and that security. So anything that causes too much resistance, or that will sort of trigger your brain to put up resistance, we want to avoid when we start this. That's why I do 15 minutes a day with the ladies I start with in the comfort of their home. And I designed it in a way that they can actually do that in their pajamas first thing in the morning.
That's
so
great.
You don't have to pack a gym bag. You don't have to take the car. You don't have to be in traffic. You don't have to find a parking lot. You don't have to go to a changing room and then, I don't know, have a locker and go walk into the gym. This is all just going to create resistance. And you might do it once or twice in January when you're like fired up, but it's very difficult to build a habit like this. So 15 minutes at home daily can get you really very far.
So now, are you saying 5-0 or 1-5, 50 or 15?
1-5, 15.
1-5, 15. Wow.
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, who can say they don't have 15 minutes in their day to do this?
Yes. That's why I do it that way, because that's another, I think it's a limiting belief. Some people say, oh, it's an excuse. I'm not sure it's an excuse for everybody. So many women at our age, they feel like really totally overwhelmed and stressed out. So they might think that they don't have time to look after themselves. When you say you can do it in 15 minutes, it makes it easier.
It does.
Then
it all of a sudden says, I could do that.
Yes. And then you want to start where you are. This is crucial. There's tons and tons of exercise programs on YouTube for free. They are great. They're great stuff. There's good programming. They're done by really professional people. But they're not made for midlife women. And not for midlife women who've been sedentary for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
who haven't exercised in a while, or who've, you know, always been doing running, never mm-hmm. done strength training. You want to know exactly where your body is at. Your strength and your mobility, both are really crucial. And the best way is really to find someone to assess you, to look at you. That doesn't have to take long at all, but just so you know where to start. And then sometimes you might have to start with just some gentle reactivating of the whole system.
Because so I want to ask you one question. What type of person do you find to assess you? Are you saying go to a gym and have a coach assess you or a doctor?
Now you have trainers and coaches that specialize in midlife women. You might have to go and look for them. You can go to my website. There's a bit of there's an assessment there that you can take. It's a holistic health and strength assessment to find out where you're at. The thing is, if you haven't done anything for a while, like I'm talking about training, and you wanted to start moving, you see a workout, you imitate the movement that you see, and your brain instinctively wants to mimic the movement. So you're trying to, you take, it's same for yoga, whatever it is, you try to take that posture to make that move. Your brain is just mimicking it, but your muscular skeletal system is not ready. You might lack the mobility. You might even, and this is a big, big part of strength, is the functionality of the communication between your central nervous system and the muscle at the end of your of the chain. So, for example, when you train a muscle to failure, so you contract and contract until you can't do it anymore, it's not the muscle that fails. The muscular fiber is still able to contract. It's the central nervous system that cannot manage to send the signals anymore.
Interesting.
So that's something, yeah. It's really also the fatigue of the central nervous system that is the most important part in making sure that you recover from training, things like this. So why am I going into this nerdy sort of tangent? Because when you haven't done anything for a long time, that communication between your brain and your muscle has to be reactivated, reignited, rekindled.
Reintroduced. So you wanna say hi to each other.
Yeah, we're still here. Your muscles. And then from there on, you can then start training when you have like good control. And these just this reactivation, reconnecting will give you strength gains because, you know, your muscles will obey to your brain better. And then from there, you can start and you will feel much better already after 2 weeks of doing that.
And so is it push-ups? Is it other? I mean, that's what I think of in terms of your body weight. Are there other things at home that you can do?
Yes. But the push-up is definitely one. But of course, you're not starting with a full push-up because that's one of the most challenging exercises for women. So you scale that. You start with a wall push-up. You know, and when you can do 3 times 20 wall push-ups, then you take the surface just a little bit deeper. You know, you could take the back of a sofa or a kitchen table or something like that. This is how you progress this. You want to progress this as a full body push-up. So you don't want to go down on your knees and do so-called girl push-ups or anything. You want to have the whole body exercise because that's what it is, a push-up. And then you get the whole benefit. So rather than going down on your knees, you want to be standing and then just bringing it down very slowly. And that also helps your joints to get accustomed to that movement. If you try to do a full push-up right away, I think your elbows and your shoulders are probably going to protest. Whereas when you start by doing lots of wall push-ups, you lubricate the joint, it gets used to the movement, and you can take it from there. It's the same for squats. Squats, for example, you can move squats then to one-legged movements. The sky's the limit. As long as you start with the version that is right for you, you don't want to do a full depth loaded squat when you haven't done any strength training for a while.
Perfect. We're speaking to Kim Ray here of My Elegant Muscle Solution. I'm assuming you have a lot of information on your website for people to look at and learn more. And especially, like you said, that kind of analysis. I would love to see that as well. And you can get all of that at kimrayhere.com. And I'll absolutely have everything in the show notes. Kim, I think the idea of weightlifting is so foreign to so many women, especially in midlife. And I love that you have made it, first of all, accessible to people, right? That they can do it at home, that you do start out slow, that you don't have to be this hard body going to one of these musclehead gyms. I love that. I love that.
I think that's the main part. They say the heaviest weight in a gym is the front door. So if we can take that out of the equation and just, you know, start at home, and over time, who knows, you might become so strong and confident that you say, oh, I want to go to the gym now.
I want to show off my great body.
Yes. But to start, you want it to be as easy as possible. And, you know, the thing about the resistance is something that we really have to keep in mind. And women can start anytime. And this is also something really important. If you have high mileage knees and you think, oh, I can't work out because I have creaky knees, or you've had shoulder problems, very common. You said, oh, I struggled with frozen shoulder, I can't do this. Oh, I have problems with my back. And this is something I learned in my weightlifting gym. You can always train. You just have to work around those trouble spots. Because when you train the rest of your body and you stay strong, that will help you with the healing also. If you let everything slide and not you stop training, then everything will go weaker and then your sore spots will get sorer. So you want to circumvent as much as you can. And it's always possible. You can always find a way to train, you know, even when you're, you know, sometimes my clients, I remember not long ago, one broke her toe. Oh, you know, we found a way for her to train.
Yeah.
Another one had a problem with her shoulder. We find a way to train. You just have to know what you're doing and then design it so that you, you know, cannot load the sore joint, the injured joint, whatever it is, but keep training, keep moving. That's the one thing that, you know, I really want to shout from the rooftops. Keep moving.
Keep moving. Yeah. Because if you don't move it, you'll lose it. Kim, thank Absolutely. You so much for joining us. What's one piece of information that you would give every woman in midlife?
It's not too late. I think that's the really crucial thing. So many think, oh my God, it's too late for me. I am too, whatever you want to say, too heavy, too tired, too old, too stiff. No, it's never too late. And you can start today. All you need to do is start small. If you start small, then the sky's the limit, because then you will have started. So that's the most important part. Don't think of big stuff.
Right.
You can start today. It's not too late, but start small.
Right. Start small and just keep moving. Kim, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, I'll have everything in the show notes of where you can reach Kim. And everybody, have a great day. I'll see you soon. Bye now.